They Watch at Night, a spooky, scary skeleton podcast, where we ask the question, what kind of vampire would you guys want to be? Like, if you had to pick a type of vampire in terms of movie,
I want to be the Robert Pattinson type.
Robert Pattinson, so straight up Twilight?
Yeah. I want to be mysterious, aloof. Those might be the same thing, I'm not sure. But I want to just, I want all the girls to grovel over me, but I'm not going to deal with any of them unless they have extreme social awkwardness and a very gaunt face.
Ben?
I think I'd pick the vampires from Underworld.
Ooh. Clad in leather.
Yeah.
Are they intelligent? I've never seen Underworld.
Really?
Mm-mm.
That is a little shocking.
That's a movie you should watch.
Yeah, really, though.
I'll give it a try. It's the one with Mila Jovovich?
Okay,
no.
Wait, what is Underworld?
That's just a series of vampire and werewolf movies, but it's set in like the... Is it not set? No, I'm thinking of Van Helsing. Van Helsing's set in the 1800s. Underworld is set... Let me look it up right quick.
Well, they have the Rise of the Lycan one, which is set before the modern day one.
Yeah, it kind of... They're up to like 6 movies now, so...
Yeah.
The first Underworld is set in 2003, but it has like flashbacks to like 1100 something. It goes back, certain scenes go back to like the Knights Templar.
The Knights Templar.
Yeah.
So
classic.
Pre-15th century.
I think that if Ben was born in like, when was the Knights Templar? Like seven, like whatever AD that was. I feel like if Ben was born back then, he would definitely be in the Knights Templar.
I don't know.
I think we all would. Conscripted, if you will.
Well, I mean, you at 6'2 back then, you would be considered like, what is that? Like, if you consider inflation, like, you'd be about 7'2 back then. So, I think you and Ben definitely. But me, I'd probably be one of the. I might be a bard.
The Knights
out there on the field
were founded in 1119. In Jerusalem, and they lasted 2 centuries during the Middle Ages.
1119.
From 1119 to March 22nd of 1312.
See, I know we call you an old soul, but even that, I think that's too old. 1119.
Yeah, I'd be...
Shoo-wee, I didn't even know dates existed back then.
Okay. If we want to watch the first Underworld, it is... A very 2000s movie, a lot of action, a lot of leather, a lot of vampires. I am 100% here for it. Personal opinion?
You say it's Kate Beckinsale?
Yes, yeah. Kate Beckinsale. And you know what's crazy? Okay. Like, because you've watched Good Omens, haven't you?
Nope.
Wow, really? Damn.
Oh, no, I haven't. I watched like the first episode. It's with David Tennant, right?
Yeah. But you know...
Yeah, no, I watched the first episode, but I didn't watch anymore.
Michael Sheen's in it. And he's also in Underworld. And,
Michael Sheen, Charlie Sheen's dad?
Michael Sheen, that's not his dad. I keep getting confused about that. They have no relation.
I don't know. I don't believe that.
Aziraphale.
A what?
Aziraphale in Good Omens.
Man, I don't. I watched one episode, man.
Yeah, he's the angel with the white suit, and he's really bubbly, and he owns a bookshop.
Oh, that's his name?
Yeah.
You know, I thought he was. Is he from Lord of the Rings?
No, but I know who you're thinking about. You're thinking about the guy that plays Gollum, because they look kind of similar.
Possibly.
I am. No, but Michael Sheen's in Underworld, and it's really he is a very versatile actor, because between Underworld and Good Omens, like, really puts the work on his style. Myself personally, I would probably go with What We Do in the Shadows. I like just being, I think one of them described it, pretty well. It's like, I want to suck and fuck forever. And that's why I became a vampire. And just, I love it.
Well, you two are definitely going to live longer than my character, fuck. So.
What, do the vampires in Underworld die quick?
They do not live long. If they're...
Is that because of Kate Beckinsale?
No, they're just... The vampires in that movie are stupid.
Like they are. Why'd you pick them then? I figured you'd go with, like, the classic. Like, I figured you'd just go with straight-up Dracula or something.
Nah, I mean... It was between that and the 30 Days of Night vampires, but those vampires are straight up evil.
Yeah, but that's a good movie though.
What about Bela Lugosi? Don't you want to be like him?
I mean, yeah, he's pretty cool, but
I don't think his name is Bella, so I apologize. I can't remember what his name is.
His real name is Bela.
Oh, okay, cool.
Or Bela.
I got that right then. Bela Lugosi. Nicolas Cage. Oh, that's right. Nicolas Cage was a vampire.
That's right. He did.
I kind of want to be Nicolas Cage.
I specifically want to be Nicolas Cage. I want to be a vampire.
I'm changing my pick.
God.
Because I feel like you still have the raw sexuality that you get from Robert Pattinson with Nick Cage. But I feel like Nick Cage has more fun.
That's fair.
I haven't seen Renfield, so I need to catch up.
It's a watch. It's a goofy movie, and I will say I did enjoy Nick Cage as Dracula.
I've heard it was good. I mean,
the only bad thing about that movie is Awkwafina. Just cannot. What? So in Renfield they have Nicholas Holt as Renfield. Awkwafina plays a cop that appears regularly, and Nick Cage is Dracula, and it's really apparent that her particular style of acting is not good when you put her next to actors who are very good.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. And I believe that.
Well, because I love her as a voice actor. I think she has a very unique voice and works really well.
Yeah. I think it's like she's like a, I'm trying to think who's somebody. She has a specific shtick. Like, and even did you see the dramedy that she did, The Farewell?
No, but I want to.
It's very good. I would highly recommend it. And in that she does a very good job doing like a little more serious, but it's still Awkwafina. It's not like she, like, you know, method acted or anything for it. She just is... She showed off that her shtick can be good in different forms, but it is still very much, like, just Awkwafina, no matter what she does. But that's okay. A lot of actors go a whole career doing that, and whatever makes money.
Yeah, that's fair.
She's got a thing that people obviously like, and she makes money from doing it, so just keep doing your thing.
That's very fair.
Mm-hmm. There's another like male actor that I have on the tip of my tongue that is the same exact way. Like he's in a bunch of different stuff, a bunch of different genres, but he is just himself in everything he does.
Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
I cannot think of who it is. Yeah, but yeah, no, I mean that's a good one, yeah. But he's like, I feel like he gets. No, yeah, it's fair. Yeah, he's just Dwayne the Rock Johnson. He's like literally like the polar opposite of Awkwafina.
Yeah.
but they do the same thing.
Yeah, because like, it's, and I can't remember all of the movies, but there's a thing I saw on Twitter where it was just like, this is Dwayne The Rock Johnson in four different movies, and they show him, and it's just him in a white button-down shirt that's been popped down just enough where you can see, like, the crest of his pecs, and he's just sweating, and he's looking at the camera real serious, and they're just like, try to guess which one it is, and I'm just like, these are from four different movies? Where they did the same damn thing with them? And I know,
yeah,
I know,
that's fair.
I know one's Journey to the Center of the Earth. The other one is the new Jumanji, and then there were two more I just didn't know off the top of my head.
Yeah, I think for a very long time Ryan Reynolds was in, and I think to a degree he still kind of is in the. He's really good at playing Ryan Reynolds. I think Ryan Reynolds. Oh, I'd give my left nut if he would be in a Quentin Tarantino movie or something. Hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you put Ryan Reynolds in, like, a acclaimed film and just let him show off what he can do. Because I think he can actually act.
Oh, God, yeah.
But he again, is a guy that has his shtick. But I guess I have seen him. He's done some more serious roles.
Yeah, he did.
In recent memory.
Well, he did that one horror movie. And I don't think it really hit anyone in particular, but it was
Amityville.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, he did fine in that, and that's what I'm saying. He can act, like he can do things besides his shtick. I'm just saying, for like a long time, I feel like that was kind of his. That was just his thing.
Yeah,
like you pay for you're getting Ryan Reynolds. And I was thinking, like Charlie Day. Do you agree? Or yeah, is it Charlie Day from Always Sunny?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I feel like Charlie Day kind of falls into that. Like, can you think of anything he's in where he wasn't just a neurotic, whiny, just him?
Well, arguably he didn't speak in the movie, but his most recent one, I don't know if you've watched it. It was actually Fool's Paradise.
If he didn't speak in it, then it doesn't really count.
Yeah, I know, but he still had that kind of like energy about him. I Want You Back. That one, I would say he tried his hardest to kind of suppress it and make it more about the romance, but it did kind of come back in different ways. That was a fun movie. But yeah, you're not wrong. Charlie Day.
I don't even know what that person looks like.
You remember Pacific Rim?
Luigi.
Pacific Rim?
Yeah.
You at least know what Always Sunny in Philadelphia is, right, Ben?
I know what it is, but I've never seen it.
Like, you've seen the actors that are in it before, right?
Oh.
Like, you've at least seen them.
Horrible Bosses.
I just know who Danny DeVito is.
That's fair.
Okay, well, it's the short one that's not Danny DeVito.
I'll have to look him up. I don't know what he looks like.
But yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But, all right, so for this week and five episodes of a NASCAR documentary, we are watching Mad God.
Yes.
A 2021.
Again,
go ahead.
Sorry.
No, you're finished. A 2021 stop motion film made by the legendary Phil Tippett. It's out currently on Shudder, and it is something I've been wanting to kind of throw at y'all, but I know that after Skinamarink, I had to pick and choose. And the opportunity came up after you were like, oh, I want you to watch this NASCAR thing. And I was just like, opportunity. She is a call.
And I would... So which one was a more painful experience? Watching the NASCAR documentary or Mad God?
I think we had about... I want to say that we had about the same experience where it was just us stepping out of our comfort zones and... checking something out. I mean, I didn't have the like 10 out of 10 time, but I still thoroughly enjoyed learning and experiencing and seeing the, I think honestly, if I had to put my finger on it, I would love to do photography for like NASCAR stuff, but like that would be about like the most I would go.
There's a lot of people that make a very good living off of just being NASCAR photographers.
Yeah.
But as far as Mad God goes, I'll give you this, Joe. I would rather watch this than Skinamarink.
Was there supposed to be a story to this?
So I will admit it is hard.
Oh, sweet child.
It is hard to find. But you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it, the story of Babylon, the Tower of Babylon, where like humanity's being punished by God and, you know, sort of thing. Well, mm-hmm. And or kind of a like an artist dipping their toes into the cesspool of Hollywood and whatnot. That's how I see it.
There's endless ways to interpret it. And I mean, at the end of the day, like, it's not made for a story. Like, you're not watching this to have any kind of narrative. You're watching this if you are like Joe, and you're someone who you love the visuals and artistics of filmmaking, and that is exactly what this was. This was a passion project of Phil Tippett's.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Tippett or Tippett?
Tippett.
Tippett. Okay. Tippett. You know, knowing that it took 30 years to make, I think that the film, the stop motion, the animation of it, I think that it was beautiful, but disgusting at the same time. I think that the actual animation was beautiful, but the content itself was extremely grotesque. And I chose to kind of take it as an overall metaphor for humanity and just kind of the dredges of what we as a human race are capable of. And kind of showing our true selves, or he is showing us our true selves. But it was almost after I got through the giant thing that was eating gross people and then shitting it back out into other people. Actually, I can't remember how that goes, but essentially after the giant monster that shit people, I could stomach most of it.
Okay, so quick correction. It's not the Tower of Babylon, but the Tower of Babel in Leviticus 26 is like the actual like story where humanity is actively being punished by God for their sins. And the main character, which is the only name for it, is the assassin, is trying to mm-hmm. give the world relief by ultimately destroying it.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I see it. I just... It's like, I get it, and I appreciate what he's trying to show. It's like, I don't know, and maybe this is just the prude in me, but I'm just like, I feel like they're 30 years of painstaking work, and I feel like the appreciation for this is going to get lost because of how grotesque the substance was.
Mm.
And that's fine. Who cares if that's what he wanted to make? That's, you know, he's talked about he wanted... Every creature slash character in this film had its own unique look that you can't correlate to anything else. Even some of his past work, it's hard to really see any correlation. But it just, again, I feel like that the grotesqueness of it really killed the overall beauty of the film. Because I do think that I would be willing to call the film itself beautiful. I mean, the sound design alone to me was incredible. I went and looked. The fact that they did not win a single award of any kind of any level for the sound design, I don't understand that. Somebody was sleeping at the wheel there. But that still being said, I mean, don't get me wrong, the sounds were horrifying. They were just very well done.
Yeah.
You're gonna think I'm weird, but I actually enjoyed the message behind the surgery scene.
Hey.
So I know which one you're talking about, and like, again, sound design, like the, oh my god, the music during that scene, haunting.
Yeah.
I mean, like that score will be in the back of my head for the rest of my life, honestly. But tell me what you guys took away from the surgery scene.
Now, didn't the assassin get trapped? Was that not him they were working on?
Yeah.
Yes, it was, I believe.
Okay. To me, his insides were nothing but jewels and money. Was that what y'all got from that?
I mean, that's what I saw, yeah.
Yeah. I guess it was kind of the, I don't know if you've heard people say, but like, you can't eat money once everything else is gone.
Oh, like you can't take it with you?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But that's...
that's fair.
Especially right now in today's society. Like, I saw a house for sale that a month ago was $270,000, and it looked like all they did was painted it, and now the house is almost $500,000.
Nice.
It's the same thing. It speaks to that greed. That's what it feels like to me. I mean, they could have...
No, that's probably a fair observation.
They could have done a lot more to it, but that's what that immediately made me think of, was him pulling all that money and shiny shit out of his stomach.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's fair.
And yeah, I mean, it was... Sorry, go ahead.
No. You finish your point.
I mean, it was gross, but if you can look past that, there really was a message there.
Yeah. I will say, I would almost be tempted to watch it again.
Oh, I'm definitely going
like
to.
Like that, because like I do feel like there's a lot that you can dissect from it a second time through. But I will have to get into the right state of mind for it.
Gotta be in the mood.
It is. Oh my goodness. I mean, it is a lot. Like it is a film made entirely for just, I won't lie. There was a part of me, and like during that surgery scene, where I was gonna ask y'all, like, okay, because I didn't know how far it was gonna go, if it was gonna keep going. I was gonna ask y'all, do you think at a certain point this is just porn for people that love just grotesque and disgusting? Like people, especially serial killers, they talk about like they like the feel or the shine off of like people's innards. Like, I feel like there was a portion of this film where like I wanted to be like, okay, so if you like this, I have some real questions about your, you know, like this, what exactly you are like enjoying out of it. You know what I'm saying? Thankfully the film did not continue endlessly with that.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, okay, fine, fair. But that one scene, like they're pulling the stuff out of him and it's shiny. It looks, you know, it just looks like they're trying to satiate people who like enjoy that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, like, not speaking for Phil Tippett, but, like, the thing with like movies like this, and he's absolutely correct, because I want to say he did an interview where he pretty much said like, there's no way Hollywood 30 years ago was gonna, you know, make this movie, mm-hmm. even if I toned it down or whatever. So like it kind of had to be a personal project. The fact is, like, a lot of artists want to push the envelope, because that's kind of what we're taught to a certain extent as an artist, is like you have to push it and then see what they'll give. And so
yeah,
I would argue that maybe he pushed it, and because there was no like, oh well, we got to take things away, he just kept doing that. But no, I do think that especially being 30, because like it really is a testament to how much effort and whatnot goes into a movie, especially one of a mm-hmm. stop motion design of 30 years went into this, and for him to pull it out and mm-hmm. make it look like, because honestly, if it's a testament to his skill, but it really does look like it came out of like a big budget box office sort of thing.
No, it does. It's very well made. To be fair, though, the 30 years is accounting for, like, wasn't it that he spent, like, a year or two or three working on it and then realized, like, no, like you were saying, no Hollywood studio is going to, like, make this. So he put it on the back burner and then picked it up, like, 10, 15 years later. So it's, like, half of that time is just spent, like, not even working on it, correct?
Let's see.
Pretty much. Cop
came out. Yeah. Okay. So you might be right on that 3 years. I'm looking at the wiki and it says, while working on Robot Cop 2, Tibbett began filming what would become Mad God. His work on Jurassic Park led him to believe that the days of stop motion were over and the film was shelved. 20 years later, with the encouragement of his members of his studios, right. He began working on the project again. So yeah. 20 years.
20 years later.
So, arguably.
Okay. So yeah. So technically, it took him like, I would say like 7 years.
10 years total. 3 years at the beginning. 7 years at the end. Because.
Still, I understand the sentiment.
Well, and I mean, like, in his stuff isn't unique in the way of like, oh hey, you know, artists all have their own stuff they want to make. Because like, if you go on YouTube, there are so many like short films and or shorts that will never see Hollywood, unfortunately, because Hollywood's over there just churning out shit. I say, planning on going to see Dune sometime. No, I thoroughly, very much enjoyed this. I know that. There wasn't any expectation otherwise for me personally. just because like seeing him go from like stuff like the Star Wars and Jurassic Park and RoboCop 2 to making his own full, like, I would kill if a studio saw this and went up and said, hey, we'd love to do another movie with you, but we just want you to make it more marketable or whatnot. I would love like a full movie of like Phil Tibbett.
We want less shit, less monsters getting electrocuted and getting boners. Less. Yeah, just
pull it back a little
just,
bit.
God. I mean, I don't know. Again, to just state my point again, like there is beauty here, but it is overshadowed by the just pure disgust of it all. I saw someone's opinion that I kind of somewhat saw where it's like he was trying to visualize pain, like just pure human pain that we all experience on a daily basis. Like, and honestly, I was kind of like, yeah, I guess that's fair. I'm like, really, like pain of itself would be grotesque and horrifying. You know, like if you were to just like visualize like the embodiment of pain.
Yeah. God, it's just.
I think I need to do a rewatch, honestly.
Yeah. No, I probably will. I mean, I won't lie to you guys. I got toasted pretty good before I watched it, and I'm still not sure if that was bad or good.
Honestly,
there's a part of me. What?
Honestly, when you said that you were going to do that, I was just like, wow, I wonder how this will change his experience.
That's the thing. I don't know if it helped it. Like, maybe I was in a better head. Like, I don't know. I don't know if it made it. I don't think it made it worse, because, like, I think, especially the fact that there was no, like, storyline to keep up with. I think if there was an actual storyline, I would have been screwed. But the fact that there wasn't any real plot, it was really just the visualization of the entire movie, I think that it actually helped. And I think it helped me get over some of the more, like, gross aspects of it.
Okay.
So, I would recommend on a second watch, though, if you have the ability.
Almost. I mean, if you can get past the grossness of it, I mean, which, I'm not trying to sound funny, it didn't bother me in the slightest. I was sitting there eating fruit while I was watching it.
Oh my
so,
God.
Specifically, pineapple and cherries. So,
I can't imagine like chewing down on like a cherry or a pineapple, getting that juice in the back of your throat, and then watching that monster just shit into the mouths of other people. I can't. I just can't. I couldn't.
It was pretty funny.
Jesus.
My favorite part, though, is when, like, the big anvils were being transported, and it, like, dropped on those four or five people, and it made, like, that big, like, bong sound. You remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. I think so. You know, they were... Yeah. The assassin himself, which obviously we follow two through the entire thing...
Yes.
But, like, they are strictly, like, they are just our eyepiece. Like, they serve no other purpose other than to just show us this world. And, like, whenever the film first started, I'm not going to lie, I was kind of annoyed. Because I feel like the opening scene where he's, like, just falling deeper and deeper into this world, I was like, okay, is this, like, a Dante's Inferno thing? Like, is he going through the rings of hell? Or what? But, like, that lasted way too long. That was like 6 minutes of just him, just watching him go through this different scenery.
Yep.
And I'm like, I still don't even understand. So like he dived deeper and deeper and deeper, but is it all one world? Is it all separate worlds? Like, what does that mean little gnome have to do with it? Like, I don't know. Just so many questions. Like, who is the mad god? Who is the titular character?
Well, no, that's
because it's not fingernails guy.
No, but it's just God in the if we're going for the actual like story in the Tower of Babel, it's just mad is not in the terms of like I guess in the terms of like this movie, like angry, but more of like an insane sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so like all the torture and everything the distance it goes and like the giants getting electrocuted, eating people, shitting them back out, etc. And you know what? You could actually look at it like a Dante's Inferno, Rings of Hell sort of situation too, where like Dante, instead of, I'm thinking of the video game, the giant scythe. He just has like a bomb and it's just, again, about the relief.
I guess I could see it if it's talking about like the God that we know, and it's his way of being like calling him a mad God, because it's like, look at all the stuff that God has happened on the earth he created, things that we as humans do. And I guess like you could almost look at the film as almost trying to personify all of the disgusting feelings, actions, and just everything that we as humans do, and it is a mad god that would create such a thing.
Yeah,
I see how a lot of people describe it as Dante's Inferno, so I mean,
yeah,
which that in itself is a really good video game. I don't know if either of you have ever played it, but It's very good.
My parents wouldn't let me have it because it had hell on it.
Well. I remember, God Almighty, I was like 11 years old and Mom bought me Spawn, and the GameStop guy was like almost refusing to let her.
Oh, okay. It's recording. I'll just fix that later. Yeah, I can't remember what we're talking about either. Shit. Because I just explained how the mad is more of an insane thing, that they're punishing humanity. I think Oh, that's right. No, Ben said if you'd ever played Dante's Inferno, and I think I was going to say I did because it came out right around the same time as God of War, and I was really hoping that they would combine the two franchises in one little like moment and have that moment where like Kratos goes and kills Jesus Christ. So, I was honestly it would have been so funny, but they were very similar games, and they were both really cool. No, I give Mad God 9 out of 10. Solid. I will say the grotesqueness does kind of get in the way of it just a smidge. Because there is kind of like a, you know, you look at something and you're just like, why is this? I mean, you're showing the depravity, but like, why at a certain point?
Yeah. But like the scene with the monkey on the table and all the horrible stuff around it.
Yeah. I mean, like, I understand the whole, like, levels of the thing, but, like, But 9 out of 10, super great sound design, incredible
I'm sorry, can you, what did you say?
Super great sound design?
No, before that.
9 out of 10?
That's, like, your rating for the whole movie?
Yeah.
The silence is deafening.
Why? Is it too low for you?
Are you having a stroke? Like, what's wrong with you?
I feel like he was expecting me to get a 10 out of 10.
Oh, no. I was just marinating in the fact that you believe this is, like, one point away from being a masterpiece.
I mean, it is. I think it, I think this, and especially this movie, but there are certain movies where you can feel the passion of the project through the project itself. Like, I think Phil Tippett, and the fact that he, because like I think most people would, if you got to a point in a project and you're just like, man, it's just not worth it. I just can't. And to come back to it after 20 years and go, you know what? I'm going to finish this shit. It really shows his dedication to the craft. It really shows his culmination of skill. Because, like, I don't know. It's the way the certain things cut. It's the way that, like, on certain scenes you'll see someone with gloves on and acting like the assassin. I just... It's such a culmination of his skill and effort. And I think it shows.
I mean, it shows.
But, yeah, no, 9 out of 10.
So, I mean, I'll just ditto everything you said, but to me, like, that just makes it a 5. Like, I think that the animation is beautiful. I think that the sound design is amazing. I appreciate the effort that it took to get in. I definitely love stop motion. I think that while Hollywood doesn't see a place for it, I very much still would love to see stop motion films take place. However, I just, you know, I can't overlook just the fact that there is no plot on top of it being so just disgusting to watch. I mean, it's beautiful in its own way, and if you like, I definitely see why you like it, and I definitely appreciate why you like it. It's just not something that I would ever in a million years watch myself. So kind of like what I feel like is the happens with a lot of these reviews is this, anything that Joe picks, it's not made for me. I'm not the target audience of the film.
That's fair.
And I think that if I was somebody more like Joe who appreciated the art form itself more, my score would definitely go up. I was being a dick, but like I understand why you gave it a 9. I still think even from someone with your viewpoint, that's really, really high. But I'm not gonna. I was silent because I'm like, well, I'm not gonna argue it. I at least see it, but yeah, I'm like, if he would have just toned it down a little bit, maybe.
No, I think
that's 100% fair.
The grotesqueness doesn't bother me. I mean, I don't know what that says about me, but it just doesn't bother me at all. No, I really enjoyed the movie. It took me a second to... I had rewound a couple times, but once I sat and watched certain scenes a couple times through, like, I really started to get the picture. I mean, it seems just like the movie is one big lesson. But, again, the surgery scene was my favorite part with the you can't eat money, and, I mean, everything else was speaking for itself. It was all a lesson to me of how our humanity is right now, or how people are specifically.
That's fair. You know, let me watch it again, having a better understanding of what it is I'm watching, and my score might go up, because, like, I like the aspect of, like, just, it's a complete, like, trying to dissect, like, the metaphors through the whole movie, and just, like, kind of what the movie could be made to represent. I think that it's all about interpretation. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to get something different when they watch it. And like I said, if I looked at it from the standpoint of this is him visualizing the depravity in the world that our God created, I can at least understand it to a degree, although like still the lack of any plot outside of he's just trying to blow it up is still kind of like...
Yeah.
It's hard for someone, a moviegoer like me, to stomach for an hour and a half.
No, I understand that. Because, I mean, that's kind of the same way Skinamarink was. It was it's the interpretation
no,
that you,
no,
you
no,
as
no,
the
no,
audience...
No, 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 no. Skinamarink was trash. Skinamarink not only did not have any plot, it was not pleasing to look at, it was not pleasing to listen to. There was nothing good about Skinamarink. This at least had something good about it. This at least had a substance, even if that substance was just absolute depravity.
Yeah, you know what? You are not the only one to give it exactly 5 out of 10. I'm looking at different reviews, and IGN's Christy... I'm going to say this wrong. Punchko? Pucko?
Mm-hmm.
Gave it the score of 5 out of 10, commending the atmosphere and visuals, but criticizing the film for what she felt was like a lack of real plot or substance. I did like this guy's take on it, because it this is much very much a I would argue art film in the way that you can take it as in multiple directions. Christopher Stewartson for Our Culture magazine wrote, "Mad God almost has an anti-war ring to it. In its abstract madness, it presents the nightmare of what war does. Nobody is human, only monsters exist." And you can depict it as many different ways as you'd like, but I think that everyone's take is valid.
I mean, if you can look past the gore, man, there's a lot to, you know, dissect here. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in that movie. Well, No pun intended, but
yeah. Well, there's like one thing to dissect, it's the assassin.
Yeah, no, seriously. Again, though, that scene alone, though, like just the actors in it, because there were human actors in that scene, and yeah. they almost looked like they were in stop motion. Like that scene in of itself, from the music, everything, if you just get, like I said, I was a little taken off guard when they were like really showing off the sheen of the organs and stuff. But like, as far as like the actual scene itself, take away that it's definitely the scene that's probably going to stick with me the longest. And I think it's honestly just from the music, the score throughout the movie oh my God, it was so good.
Yeah.
Like honestly, like this, if it wasn't for the score, I probably would have gave it like a 3.
I really need to start getting, cause I want to get back into like preserving physical media, and I want to see if I can get a copy of this on like DVD or something. I need to start getting back into records and such, because like I know I'm reading through a few things, and I want to say there is a soundtrack album produced, and I want to say it was on a vinyl, which could be so good.
I know, I saw I was looking for like other podcasts that would be doing this. I just wanted to like just hear. I like hearing other people's take on films. Dead Meat did a podcast on this, and they were kind of in the they both loved it, of course, but they were kind of more like with Joe's frame of thinking, for sure. But I can't remember where I was going with this, because I literally just shouted out a completely different podcast, but now I don't know why I did that.
Hey, Dead Meat's always appreciated. They're so
big, it doesn't really matter. But what was I about to say? God dang it!
Oh, dude.
Oh well, it doesn't matter.
Oh
yeah, that
Ben just sent a picture of the vinyl.
Oh wow!
I am a sucker for color vinyl, and that might be
that's pretty cool.
First movie soundtrack I ever buy on wax, man. That's pretty cool.
Fuck yeah, dude. But Ben, what was your score?
Let me give it a rewatch. But
to it yet.
Right now, it's a 7. But let me go back in and watch it to again. If I think people can get really distracted by all the gore that's going on, but if again you look past that, there's a lot to be focused in on. Just besides that, I mean, it was a 7 when I first watched it, but it'll definitely be higher on the rewatch for me. I really did like the movie, from the music to the stop motion work. I mean, everything about that is complicated to do. I mean, I've seen a few stop motion movies, and they just take forever to do. But I really did like the movie.
Okay. Yeah, no. I would love to see it. I looked around for it, and I can't find it. Supposedly, because Phil Tippett, beyond being a puppeteer, is obviously working in movies and whatnot. Supposedly, there is a cut of Jurassic Park, specifically when the T-Rex is like pushing over the cars and whatnot, that he stop motioned a T-Rex for. And I really want to see it, because I'm curious to see how it looks. But I know, shoot, there was a stop motion film, and I can't remember the name of it. Give me just a second to look it up.
And it was about that monkey.
There was a... There was a movie that recently finished. And it wasn't this one, but it was recently finished, and it was made back... I'll have to look it up, and maybe I'll pick it up another time, but it was like... It's an older film. It was recently finished, and like it uses the same kind of stop-motion techniques, but it's like crisp. Like it was made back in like the 20s and 30s, and they finally finished it. And I need to find it because it looks interesting. But okay, so we have 9 out of 10, 5 out of 10, and 7 out of 10. So
yeah, honestly,
pretty par for the course.
Yeah, I mean, again, this movie's not made for me, like the type of horror fan I am. But yeah. Like, honestly, I will say 5 could be persuaded to move up to a 7.
And then I'll get Ben's 7 up to a 9. Yes. Yeah. Finally coming together.
Most likely, yeah.
Well, it's all about just understanding what a film is made for. Like, obviously, like I've made a big point of contention that plot is a big thing for me in movies. But if I already know that a movie is not, you're not supposed to be worrying about the plot in a movie. If I'm aware of that, like if that's just like it's a known thing, I can definitely get over that. It's more whenever you have a movie that hypes itself up and then you go into it and it's like there's really no substance here.
Yeah.
That's whenever it really like kills me. This wasn't trying to have a plot, so I at least understand that.
Gotcha. Alrighty. Well, you know what? No. Well, I'll go ahead and announce it because we can. I mean, we'll work it out and whatnot. Eventually, we will be splitting, or switching to a 2-week format. So instead of on a weekly basis, it'll be like every other week, because we're going to start a second podcast of just gaffes and goofs and just general nonsense. I don't know if maybe in the following weeks or next month we have to come up with a name for it, but we'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
But that's all I've got. Anything from y'all?
Nope.
I'm good.
Alrighty. Well, I'm Joe.
I'm Bryce Houston Howard.
Oh my gosh. I've been talking to you this entire time.
Who the hell is that?
It's just Bryce Dallas Howard, but from Houston.
Okay.
I thought it was funny. I
legit forgot her middle name and thought you were just pretending to be her. It's like, that's, yeah, 100% accurate.
See, I'm like Bryce Dallas Howard, only I'm not as caked up.
What if Ron Howard just had 3 girls and they were all Bryce Dallas Howard, Bryce Houston Howard, Bryce San Antonio Howard?
Jesus.
Yeah, that'd be great. And then he had like a bastard called Bryce El Paso Howard.
She's not part of the family.
Uh-huh. That's funny. I'm glad I thought of that.
Well,
it's all right.
Wait, no, I was waiting for Ben.
Ben already said his name, didn't he?
No.
Did he?
Hey, what's your name?
What?
What? And this has been Did You Watch at Night?
Just end the show.